Lord God, please let all that I say come from you, through me, and out to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning. You know, Pope Francis was answering a question asked by a little child who was with her dog, and she asked about her dog being in heaven with her, and he said just the most lovely, wonderful thing. He assured the child that there in heaven, all of God's creatures would be there with us. It's such a lovely thing to say, and such a great vision to get of all of our pets in heaven, all God's creatures. And then I remembered dinosaurs. I think the end of times is supposed to be rapture, not raptor, but we'll see about that. You know, ever since I was little, I have loved the rain, absolutely loved the rain. I was told that when it rained, that was God's way of washing clean and renewing and making fresh all of God's creation. Being a good steward of what God created, he would wash the earth clean with the rain. And I love the majesty of the thunder and the lightning. It just makes me remember that we are all creatures, all created from the same earth and all subject to the laws of nature. You know, Genesis reinforced this idea because we know that man was made from the ground, from the earth. And then in today's story, we hear that from that same ground, God created all of the creatures. And then from man, as a companion, he created woman. And God gave the humans dominion over the animals. And for a while, in the Garden of Eden, I think that things were as they were intended. I think we get a glimpse of the vision that God had for creation, which is that we should all live in peace, that we should all love one another, and all in harmony. And then Adam and Eve, undisciplined, not following direction, everything changed. Everything did. Humans had dominions over everything, and in that moment, it all changed. You know, we have dominion over a lot of things, but I tend to think that sometimes the things that we have dominion over, the things that we in this life have power over, if we're not careful, it can enslave us. We can become slaves to the things that we have dominion over. And if you think that that's not true, has anybody tried using one of these in the last decade or so? These little electronic devices, we have dominion, we have power over them, right? They're ours to do with as we choose, but we can become slaves to these things. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just heard about a study in which they did the study and they found out that this current generation coming up is far less empathetic than the previous one. And they found out that the reason for that is that it seemed as though the parents and the adults and the role models were more interested in checking statuses and in playing with their electronic devices than they were in fully being present in the moment with their children. Two on social media, a photo went viral just this past week with Pope Francis here. A dozen people were so excited, big smiles on their faces in this photo. They got within arm's reach of the Pope and they were so glad to be there. There are their faces in this photo. One woman, one older woman, is there in the moment looking at the Pope directly. Every other person in that photo, all 11 of them, were looking at him through their screen. If you think for a minute that not being fully present in the moment and the becoming enslaved to these things doesn't distract you and diminish the encounters that you have in the world, look at the statistics for distracted driving and accidents. The things we have dominion over are the very things that we can become enslaved to. I think that the words of the Our Father really came to me when it was, "Lead us not into temptation. Let me live in the moment." Francis, whose feast we celebrate today, I think really understood temptation. He lived from the 1180s to about 1226. He knew temptation in his life. He was the son of a wealthy merchant. And Francis had a conversion experience, and it was a journey not unlike our own. He had an experience where this rich young man went out and he begged with the poor at St. Peter's in Rome. And he decided to literally take the Bible seriously, and he gave up all of his possessions to follow Christ. And this was much to the chagrin of his father. I can tell you that. When I was reading in order to get ready for this, I did find a couple things that I wanted to share with you about Francis that I didn't know or that I don't know that you know. In 1223, Francis was credited with doing the very first nativity scene. I did not know that. And we think of it every Christmas, but it had to start at some point. So Francis did that. And the other thing about Francis is that he, like in, we heard Galatians this morning about having the marks of Christ, the stigmata in 1224, he had the actual wounds of Christ put on him. Now, I don't know if anybody's got a tattoo, but that's tattoos on steroids, okay? That is, you have to be really dedicated to have the actual wounds of Christ put on you to go that far. I'll tell you, I was really glad, though, to know the words of my friend John Omar said, because what he said that is that we just need to be inspired by what Francis did. We don't need to be Francis. And that means that through our encounters with the poor, let him be the example for us. Let us follow the central idea that he had, and that is to live and give to the poor and to live a simple life in peace and love and harmony. So he is well known for loving the animals, and he is the patron saint that we do today. We blessed our animals this morning at 9 o'clock. It was quite good fun. We had a nice crowd of dogs and cats and all sort of little creatures running around in there. But really, understanding what the struggle is of the poor, that's the point to his life, and that's something that we should remember. I love to celebrate those things, and I love the prayer of St. Francis. It's been a model for me as a child to bring peace and love where there is discord and hatred. So keep the feast day. Know that we're well loved. We are not called to be Francis. I don't think any of us want to give up our possessions. I know that I don't. I don't want to go out and be poor. But I can certainly use him and all the saints as a model for how to live my life. We're also not called to be the Christ, but we are called to be the church. And as individuals, members of this church, we are called to model our behavior after Christ, to show hospitality, to love one another. We don't have to be perfect in doing that. We just have to be ourselves, coming here together, who we are. Sort of like the Holy Cross. Come, be with us, wherever you are on your spiritual journey. Be with us and follow Jesus' examples. You know, the gospel this morning was really confusing if you read it. It had lots of words in it. It had the word infant in it, and the word wise, and the word yoke, and the word burden. And I'm thinking, this is kind of a confusing message. The infants heard it, the wise people didn't. So, of course, I got out the dictionary. So I looked up the word infant, and infant means somebody who cannot speak for themselves yet. And I think that infant in the gospel this morning is referring to the disciples right there and the followers who really had no standing in the community. They could not speak for themselves. The wise people, wise, according to the dictionary definition, wise are those who have the ability and the power to pass sound judgment, or to pass judgment. And I think that that was referring to the Pharisees and to the scribes. So the infant, those who had no voice, were hearing the message. And the wise, those fell on deaf ears. Yoke. I liked that word. I'm thinking, okay, put on a yoke. What in the world does that mean? Well, the dictionary tells me that that means that an animal that is yoked, or someone who is yoked, is under the discipline and the direction, okay, of someone. So if we put on the yoke, that means that we are going to be disciplined and follow the direction of Christ. Okay, that made sense to me. But what about those who are burdened? Those who are burdened, not just back then, not just those outside. That's exactly what it means. those who are burdened and those who are toil are those who are outside. And that's what we as a church are called to do, to reach out to the other, to the homeless, to those who have some really bad things that have happened to them recently, to those who are refugees, to those who have no place to be. The church is the only institution that exists, not for us in it, but for us to reach out to those outside. That's why the church is here. The institution that reaches out. And that's what we're called to do. To follow the good example of Francis, to live a life of humility, of peace, of grace, to bring love where there is hatred, to follow the discipline and the direction of Christ, and to love one another. One thing I will tell you is that someone once said, and I remember this, my dog is a better person than I am. I think we've heard that. It's been around for a long time. My advice? Strive for that. Strive for that. Because a dog is obedient. A good dog's obedient to their master. So be as obedient as you can to your master. And when you see your master, when you come in here to worship God, get excited. Get excited. But most of all, love one another unconditionally. Amen.